Looking for love? Are you ready for a long-term committed relationship? Do you dream of curling up next to someone who is warm and loving? If you answer yes to all of these, you may be ready to open your heart and your home to one of the millions of dogs and cats who are waiting in shelters for a permanent home. By adopting your four-legged friend rather than buying one from a breeder or a pet store, you'll help save a life and find true love. For more information, please visit helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
And you're listening. You know, there's plenty of three-legged animals out there, just so people know. Adopt them as well. It's 6 o'clock, and you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook. It's time once again for another edition of Off the Wall. Back. It's another edition of Off the Wall, this time a live edition. I'm your co-host, Emmanuel, and over there, on
yes.
the other microphone over there?
I believe you're referring to me.
Yeah, you. That
I'm actually
pointing at you, in fact.
Yeah, I saw that. I'd actually prefer you keep that finger to yourself.
Uh-huh.
No, this is actually off the cuff. We've changed the name of the show. Off the cuff is different, and I'll tell you how. This show is more about not preparing to do radio and then going on the radio and just speaking off the cuff. And you basically just talk about the climate control in the booth and whether your community station is working or not. And anyway, the first topic tonight...
Wow, no, that's good. I like that idea. In fact, you're tinged with sarcasm right now, but actually I think you might have stumbled into a good idea. We should rename the show Off the Cuff because it is off the cuff.
It is.
We pretty much do everything off the cuff.
Well, okay. So the first topic for this...
See if that domain is taken. Yeah, because we lost Off the Wall at that stupid restaurant. Could you look? We have our staff looking into this. Offthecuff.com would be kind of cool.
Well, I did
it's
notice...
Taken? Really?
It
Damn
is.
Damn it. Everything is taken.
Okay. Well, one of the things that I hadn't prepared to talk about was the new vinyl shelves. Yeah, we've got all of our vinyl.
Try.org. Yeah, yeah, not listening. Go
ahead. No, that's okay. Or PL. It's fine. It's fine. Anyway, despite the landing page, we're excited to announce that all of the vinyl, it appears, all of the vinyl is out of the closet and out of boxes. It's on shelves. Someone put new shelves in, and it's really spectacular. If you look...
Yeah, it is.
It needs to be organized. And this is a great student project, community volunteer. I'm sure we're going to get there. But it was cool to walk around and see our hard work. I know a lot of other people in the dead of winter, about 3 years ago, basically got all of this stuff onto pallets. The 2600 pallet jack was on site. We wrapped it all up and shoveled it off under cover of darkness to protect it. Well, now it's here, and there's vinyl. And, you know, it's going to take a while. We've got other plans for music. We digitized all the CDs. We did all this great stuff, and we are not even close to actually having it at DJ's fingertips. So I just wanted to comment and get the excitement going.
Well, they can see it on the horizon, though.
It's there.
We are
emerging. It is the dawn of the new WSB.
Well, pre-dawn. The sun hasn't yet... gotten above
it's,
the horizon.
It's
but
not as warm as the sun in here either, which is another
no, that's,
development.
That's good. That's,
no,
for once we're not baking.
We are not, and it is also exciting news that CD2 is working. You know, all of these improvements add up, and that's part of community.
If we stay away for a month, things tend to improve.
It's true, and the quirkiness, it's there. It's always there, but, you know, because those things are fixed, you have Off the Wall. You know, you get a full dose of Off the Wall because we don't have to talk about anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And Off the Cuff doesn't exist. No, we actually are here to just have a normal radio show where we don't talk about anything but what we want to talk about, because everything is so beautiful and wonderful.
We can get offthecuff.co.uk. We can do better than that, for God's sake. Really? Is that...
What
Keep
are the
looking.
Requirements? Do we have to speak with accents? All right, maybe the name... Okay, it's tentative. It's a tentative name change. We'll be both, either. We'll respond to whatever it is. Write us a letter. Tell us what you think. Tell us about Iceland, what we talked about while we were gone. Tell us if you missed us. Tell us why you didn't miss us.
Here's what, off the CU.FF. Well, what country is .FF? There must be one.
It sounds like a hexadecimal colony or something out in the middle of the ocean.
That would be a great idea. I don't know what you do, but it sounds pretty awesome.
You just all cut off fingers. You have 8 fingers. You do octets for the rest of your life.
But can I say, since we returned, I've been met with nothing but pleasant surprises in this building, at least. We saw a deer with antlers. That was kind of fun on campus.
Out in the outfield, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Jägermeister was sponsoring the baseball teams, but it isn't officially, actually. That's not official. The deer was just there as a coincidence.
So if you're around on campus, be careful. But the deer are out, and they mean business.
It was a good rack of antlers too. I mean, medium size. I don't know. Like, you know, they could definitely do some damage. So anyway, Also, we noticed the new convenience store is coming in.
They're building a new convenience store.
West Side Dining will have the drive-up window right on the stairs. You basically just drive your car. No, you don't do that. Just kidding.
Well, we don't know. It's not finished yet. We don't know what their plans are.
Maybe they're going to have a little roadway or something.
But the elevator. The elevator said it was broken, and I pushed the button, and it wasn't broken.
Yeah,
I took an out-of-order elevator for the first time.
You somehow got in the elevator, which was marked as not working.
Because you believed the sign. And I keep telling you, Kyle, don't believe the signs. Sometimes the signs are wrong.
Give me one idea, one moment else in life where you walk into a broken machine and just assume that the sign is wrong. I mean,
I
people
do that
make
every
signs.
Day in some way.
How are you here, though? I mean, do you understand that it is a self-preservation thing that some maintenance guy is loath to have to be required to post, but it's there to actually keep you from not having the opportunity?
Let me tell you a secret.
From hurting yourself.
If you put up a sign saying something is out of order, the machine that is allegedly out of order will actually last a lot longer because fewer people will use it. And that's how things work here at Stony Brook. You put out of order signs on everything, and that's how we keep things working because people do something else instead.
I see. Okay.
But that's a secret. Don't spread that around. That's something that a lot of people don't know about.
This is how American ICBMs work.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't suggest we both get on the broken elevator. That's why you went up the stairs. I took the elevator because, you know, if I get stuck, well, at least you can carry on. You know?
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's. I would try. I would definitely, you know, I would do my best. It would be a different show, but I am prepared, and I always bring an extra sandwich, material, just in case that happens. But that's exactly why I took the stairs. It wasn't just because I am in such good shape and enjoyed the exercise, the extra activity I got going up.
But then getting into the station, it's nice and cool and brightly lit, and all the machines are working.
It was very easy to lock you out, and I waved at you through the window and said, but you know, it is a cozy environment, and eventually I let you in, and it's bustling. It's just an incredible hub of activity here. All kinds of excitement for the new school year.
Which has not yet begun.
I hear we're going to have new PSAs soon. It's really it's great to be back.
It is. And, you know, for the last month, we have been airing shows from Iceland.
Well, all the way, yeah. And it was a show we did in the past, but really had a good time recording, basically logging as we went, basically taking it in and describing our journey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else you'd talk about that. I guess it's like a diary, or it was just basically
a travel log.
A travel log, yeah. There's another word, or, you know, just basically this observation and this sort of new experience. We didn't see the Northern Lights, and basically that was the whole point of the story.
Because there aren't any Northern Lights.
How the Northern Lights are inside job, and it was all fake.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is. Which reminds me, notice how nice it is outside. It's the sky is blue, everything is clear and, you know, kind of crisp out there. Perfect weather for looking at the damn Perseids meteor shower, which for the last 2 days when it was raining nonstop. And how often do you get the Perseids with a new moon so you can see them? Every damn time that happens, it rains. I am getting sick of it. I am getting so sick of it. And there was no place in the Northeast you could go to escape it. It's not like we could get in the car and just drive up, you know, to the Adirondacks or something. No, it was raining there too. They really pulled the wool over our eyes this time, or whatever it is. We could not see anything.
Well, you see one Perseid, you've seen them all.
But I haven't seen one. That's the problem.
I
every time this happens, it rains.
I like using my imagination, and that I find is it's a great way to participate without participating.
Yeah, I think that's our modus operandi for this period of time. We've been away. Well, we haven't actually been away because we've been here, you know, in the area. We've just been busy working.
Don't
you know.
What
doesn't matter? It's in the past.
Don't tell them.
What does it make if we tell people where we are in the past?
Because it influences the future. They won't believe us when we say we're going to, you know,
people
never mind.
People don't believe anything we say. And that should be clear by now. Just look at what they're doing. You know, if we advise people to do one thing, they do something completely different. And that's why this country is in the state it's in right now. In fact, that's why this world's in the state it's in right now.
I'm not sure that's true.
Well, we'll find out, I guess. And, you know, I want to take phone calls, too, if we have any live listeners that listen live to the show.
631.
Yes.
632.
Yes.
WUSB.
Which translates to 9872, for those of you who don't have letters on your phones, and we know there are a bunch of people who don't.
If you're on campus, that's 29872.
Yes. Don't tweet at us, because we don't have a Twitter account. So I'm actually kind of happy about that.
Get a life. I mean, try other forms of communication for once.
Like the damn phone number we just gave you.
Or otw@2600.com.
That's our email address. You can send us email, and we'll read it, and sometimes we even read it on the air. That happens as well. So we have actually been around post-Hope, still getting over the conference. Great conference, a bit of hell we had to go through, but I think we'll be stronger for the whole thing, and the community is really banding together, and it's a whirlwind. It really is. I don't think another group of people could ever do anything like what we do every 2 years. And now we're looking into other projects, other endeavors, and putting together videos and audio from the conference and issues of the magazine and various other things like that, probably wind up going someplace at some point. So if any suggestions people want to send us, again, otw@2600.com, or you can call us from the place that you're at right now that you think we should go to when we take phone calls a little bit later on.
Yeah, quick update. I had a moment and was able to do a little bit of maintenance on the smart car, which is an interesting topic. We've talked way too much about it in the past.
The smart car. Okay, you know, just to update people, the smart car, it hasn't really run, I think, in the last 5 years. This is a smart car, the first one in New York State, I believe, because we brought it in from Quebec. And it's diesel. It's 2005, I believe. They didn't have smart cars in the States then. Now you see them everywhere. But our smart car is smaller than their smart cars because, I guess, when something gets debuted in America, it has to be bigger. And ours is not bigger. It's tiny, but it hasn't run in at least 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, there's a couple things going on there. The body style and redesign actually happened after the first year or two, I think, of the American versions being released, and those were released subsequently to the Canadian versions. So what you had is the early adopters, such as us, accessing or otherwise bringing it to the market before Smart actually introduced it locally. And those models met certain safety requirements, including size, shapes of bumpers, signals, lights, all these things that are just a little bit different than Canada's rules. And then ultimately, those models were much more prevalent.
I like to think that we had something to do with bringing the Smart to the United States, because we were driving all over the place in our little smart car, and people were pointing and jumping up and down and saying, I want one, and especially kids. And I think that demand kind of, and we didn't die in it either. We drove safely and basically lived to tell about it, and people said, we can do that too.
Yeah.
And back then we believed in the environment and, climate change and things like that, so people were a bit more conscientious, and, you know, they went out and got these things.
Yeah, and for all that, you know, Mercedes and Smart, you know, you're welcome.
Mercedes makes Smart.
We're not exactly on the payroll. Haven't seen any of the funds get transferred for all of that free promotion and I guess goodwill or as you would say. But despite that, this is a particular model. It's a particular size of vehicle that is uncommon. We like these big land boats, whether it's called an all-terrain vehicle or a Bel Air or whatever. I mean, we have huge cars and love burning a lot of fuel.
Now, the disadvantage, of course, of bringing a car in from a different country is that, especially in this era, you're kind of beholden to the mechanics in the other country. Why? Because there are these things known as computer codes that are not shared. And even though they started selling smart cars in the United States, and even though Mercedes, which makes the smart car, is prevalent here, they don't share the computer codes from Canada, believe it or not. So whenever something big happened to the car, he would have to go back up to Canada so they could enter the right code so they could do the required work on it. It's not like old-fashioned cars where Joe the mechanic can just get under it and get the thing started. You know, there are some things that you can do that with, and that's what Kyle's going to tell you about, but a lot of things you couldn't do things with, and that just made it more of a hassle.
Yeah, that's kind of the bird's eye. I would just qualify codes because there are codes that dealers enter to do certain things that are a part of owning that vehicle, and then there are codes that the vehicle itself lists in the logs. So it can get confusing very quickly, but what you described, the computer control, the centralized control, the authorization of a local mechanic to do various things, that is all kind of tightly managed, and it is difficult. Even in an era when you can buy sort of knockoff Chinese versions of the Mercedes interfaces and the tools that the mechanics would use, it's kind of dicey, though, because the crux of it is the manufacturers aren't supporting local third-party mechanics. They're only supporting their dealerships, which, of course, then have a monopoly on charging for whatever small little thing you do with a computer. Whatever it is, just reading a code ends up being this thing you're required to do with a dealer just to have a certainty of the diagnostic and so on.
And this kind of injustice has led to something known as the right to repair movement. In fact, we had a talk about that at the Circle of Hope conference, which was a few weeks ago. That's going to be online pretty soon as well.
An update. It was no less, I think, second or third time. Mm-hmm. And really great information, great news. Always interesting to hear updates about that. And this has correlations. We've talked about this. It's farmers trying to fix tools, long-haul truckers, and many other people that, you know, purchase equipment and want to work on them with modern diagnostics and, of course, and be able to repair them in an affordable way. So I was fixing one or two things. Like, we had a coolant sensor. I was able to fix that basically buying the equivalent Mercedes part. And
it was saying we were overheating when we weren't overheating?
Correct. And that was simple enough. But there was this sort of this point where I got into a little bit of a difficult territory where our clutch and engagement was really rough. And I did some reading, and there were a couple different things. I couldn't really do the diagnosis, and I couldn't do the computer adjustment, which is kind of what we just described, where it's only something the dealer can do, and it is silly, but it is by design not really approachable for the home or independent shop. So after being busy and traveling and doing all this stuff, I kind of revisited, looked at the problem again, and I got brave enough, basically. And anybody who's fixed something or worked on something knows this moment when you weigh the risks and the benefits and you say, I'll try this. And I did kind of an amalgamation of a couple different things that could have been the problem, whether it was a transmission or whether it was this actuator, which is involved in the clutch system on this particular car. Long story really long.
I call that the Kyle moment because, you have this this look in your eye you get sometimes when you've been hit with obstacles and you just kind of say, well, I'm paraphrasing here, but gosh darn it all, I think I'm just going to do this anyway, even though everyone's telling me I can't. And those Kyle moments have resulted in many good things for humanity because you've gone ahead and defied the odds and done it anyway. And gosh darn it all, if I can paraphrase myself, I think that's admirable and inspirational to other people. And you had another such moment.
Oh, that's a really kind remark. I sometimes it's evil, Kyle. I will say that.
Well, there are those moments too. I can get into that if you want me to. I'll happily detail what happens.
There's a long laundry list of moments when humanity has not been so beneficial, and it perhaps has been evil, Kyle. But evil Kyle does help with cars, and I would say, it's that moment where you've kind of done enough research and you're just confident enough to go and do it and realize you may make a mistake, but it is worthwhile. And I could go on and on about those kinds of philosophies when you're repairing things and doing things yourself. Just in the abstract, I could talk for hours about that. But for the sake of just this one little problem, I want to just wrap up with, I had this moment, this epiphany of like, okay, I looked at this before. It looks like, yes, ideally we would have the shop make an adjustment if it's just this clutch actuator. And I took and read a couple different things. One was Evolution. There's a couple tuning groups and smart support groups. And I had asked in one of the forums recently, and part of the response gave me the idea to kind of go ahead. And that's what it was, is I had suggested that the problem was one thing, and someone questioned me and said, well, are you sure it's this? And I had to kind of go back and assess, well, what are the symptoms and what is actually going on, and what could be, what is the likely possibility? And it made me second guess myself, but also kind of redoubled my confidence, which is good when you're questioned in some of these moments with a puzzle. If you can work your way towards what you're confident of the scenario is, it can bolster and double down and give you more confidence to move ahead with a procedure. And I looked at it, I said, okay, well, I could take this one part off, this actuator, and take it apart, which other people were doing. Or I could, you know, try to just do this adjustment, and it ended up being the less invasive thing that I did first, and I basically just did a mechanical clutch adjustment, and it worked out that, okay, yeah, it could be that the whole thing's broken, it could be that the transmission's broken, it could be a couple different things, but I went for sort of the least invasive and the most likely. Most likely is, hey, we've been driving it around a lot with, you know, two adults, a fair amount when we were driving it, and what happened was it went out of repair or wore out. And that's so common. Anybody who's had a manual transmission vehicle, something with a clutch, knows that the clutch wears out. So I opted for the simplest thing. It ended up being loosening three bolts, and I moved this actuator 3 millimeters, and that's all it took. And basically, it went from this violent shuddering and jolting to normal semi-automatic shifting. So basically, the thing drives around like normal now. And that was one of two ways to adjust on this vehicle. The other way is automatic, and that's the way you would do it at the dealer. Because it's a solenoid, you would use a computer to adjust it, and that's what the dealers do. But the alternative is just moving it because the bolts actually are on tracks. So this is like this silly thing that had a couple routes to solve, and I had kind of chewed on it and put it on the back burner, and then I finally got the gumption. So this week, and then the last couple weeks, I've been driving it around. And so what it's looking like is we're going to be able to go and get this tuned up, but it's going to be in great shape.
We still have to go to Canada to do that.
That's right. But a little air in the tires and some fresh fuel, and I think we are in for a road trip.
Yeah, you can fix the transmission, but you can't do a tune-up.
It is. I would need a couple parts. Uh-huh. Yeah, and the other thing is you have to gauge what you want to do, and then, of course, what is available to you. And I don't have the benefit of a full shop, much in the way I didn't have a full computer system.
That
for
probably
it.
Saved us at least $1,000 just doing that.
Oh, you absolutely.
Those 3 millimeters. And how in God's name do you move something 3 millimeters?
Well, I have what are called calipers, and they're used in engineering. And I had recently bought these for some other projects because we've got a fair amount of tools, and I go through and make sure that they're organized, kind of like our engineer does at the station. You know, you want all your tools in the right place so that you can fix the CD player, whatever goes wrong. So same here. I had been, you know, purchasing them, and you know, they're $10-$20 for calipers, but you can get the exact measurement. So what I did is I took a piece of chalk, like regular blackboard chalk, marked a line straight down on this actuator, and then loosened the bolts, and then moved it over until it kind of stopped or got tension. And then I tightened the bolts, and I just measured the difference of the chalk line and made it about 3 millimeters, which is what I had read in some of the forums. That fixed it. That was it. 3 millimeters, clutch is like normal. It absolutely fixed it and didn't need to relearn it. That was another suggestion. Once you do it mechanically to teach the computer that it's been adjusted, well, my calculation is the computer already thinks it's normal. It's that it's physically worn out. So I physically moved it.
Wow.
So now it's at its normal setting. And I think that's going to be good enough for us to make this road trip.
Yeah, which we're going to have to do fairly soon because of another really kind of silly reason. The key fob is starting to go low on the battery, and we have two of them. The other one died years ago, so we only have one. When this one dies, you won't be able to start the car unless you somehow resync it, and guess what? You can't do that in this country. You have to be up there to do it.
Yeah.
So that's really the clock that we're racing against.
But we were kind of on the, you know, hanging on the edge of a cliff, and, you know, in the cartoons when, like, one finger and two fingers, the fingers are starting to go as far as having control over this vehicle, because you start looking at, okay, I'm going to ship this car up to Canada to get it repaired for however many thousands of dollars at whatever shop, and then maybe get a tune-up, and then maybe be able to drive it again and register. It's just, this car is esoteric and has been kind of overpriced in many ways from the get-go. This just adds to that ridiculously. Mm-hmm. So by being able to navigate these little vexing little annoyances, we're actually getting ourselves back on the road such that it's basically getting a tune-up, but it's more usable, and that's the thing.
Right.
People, we have abundance, we have all this stuff, but we should be able to repair and use the stuff that we have. There's so many resources and things out there, so it was this moment of feeling like, wow, this hasn't been a huge waste. So that was very, very encouraging coming away from our event, having a win with some other project.
Have you fixed a vexing little annoyance today? I think that is something we should try to inspire people to do, because they're everywhere. You know, little things that just drive you crazy that never get fixed, or, you know, they can go away if you just take a little bit of time and determination and fighting the odds, and you'll be surprised how many times you succeed. So good work on that, Kyle, and I look forward to driving the tiny little smart car all the way up to Canada. Wow. And hope that it stays in one piece. I think it will.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this amazing thing that could be so much more complicated and so much more expensive and costly. And just, you know, wrestling with it a little bit, you end up being in a much better position. And that's ultimately such a great feeling of accomplishment.
So today is, well, actually, it's not really today. I saw this tweet before. Because sometimes I look at tweets, you know, sometimes there's something interesting to learn. Most of the time not, but sometimes there is. And I read it today. Marks a streak of 10 consecutive days, which right away is wrong because it doesn't mark a streak. We're in the middle of a streak of 10 consecutive days where the date in the MDDYY format is a palindrome. So today is the 14th of August in the year 2018. Now, the thing is, you can't do double digits on the month. You got to do a single digit on the month. So, and it's got to be month, day, year, which is kind of a stupid way of doing it, because you're going from a value to a lesser value to a greater value than the first value for no particular reason. It should be year, month, day, or day, month, year, not month, day, year, but whatever. That's how we do it in this country. So if you write today's date in MDDYY format, it's 81418. And then if you say that backwards, the numbers, that is, 81418, same number. And tomorrow is the 15th, so it'll be 81518. And backwards, that'll be 81518. You see? That's the palindrome part. Same thing for the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. But then on the 20th, it doesn't work anymore.
The calendar?
But no, it doesn't work because you have a 2 in there. And and then, you know, the 1-8, it's complicated, but it won't work again. And this won't happen again. Wow. You know, I should have read the whole tweet. This won't happen again until September of 2019. Okay, you know what? That's a big waste of time. Who cares? 1 year from now. Wow. Okay, big deal. I thought it was like the next century or something. I'm sorry. That's a big... No, that's... yeah, there's other things that will only happen once every couple of centuries. And probably seeing the Perseids meteor shower, that's probably one of them that we won't see for a long, long time. Yeah, okay, so other things that are going on. Someone left this magazine here. Do you see this? It's called The Week in the studio. I've never heard of this magazine before, but apparently it's been coming out for 18 years. The best of the U.S. and international media. And it's kind of like a compilation of all sorts of different stories from what's been going on in the world. Some of it's, you know, kind of interesting. A lot about Trump and Russians and Mueller and all that. But also, you know, little tidbits, like There is an instance where a gang of would-be gasoline thieves in Australia tried to siphon the fuel out of a parked tourist bus, and they tapped the onboard sewage tank instead. Police said the thieves fled with a somewhat bitter taste in their mouths. You know, things like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stories. So I've never heard of this magazine before, so I've been kind of thumbing through it while talking.
We witnessed the launch of the solar probe.
On TV, we did, yeah.
We did. We witnessed it. We watched, actually, Saturday morning, but it was scrubbed at the last minute, and their 65-minute window was unfortunately closed before they could reattempt. So they ended up launching on Sunday, and to a great deal of fanfare. A lot of people were excited about it.
They don't cheer like they do at SpaceX when something goes up. I think SpaceX is always surprised when something goes up. NASA's just kind of, yeah, whatever, another one.
Yeah, they're all business. I don't know what that is. Yeah, the culture, I believe, is just slightly different. And, it was a really cool vehicle, the largest rocket, one of the largest assemblages of the Delta rocket that can be configured. And will be hurling, or it did hurl this satellite very, very quickly at such a huge rate of speed to get it into Venus. I believe Venus's orbit.
Well, it's going to have to go around Venus, I think, seven times or interface with Venus just to get the right
perigee,
whatever, to get to the sun to get readings from there. So I think it's just amazing to see these things happen, that they've got this all calculated, and it's going to be passing by these particular bodies in space and eventually give us all kinds of data for something we've never done before.
Data,
that's really awesome.
Data, indeed, that we'll no doubt take for granted at some later date, and perhaps remember which launch sent the instrumentation to find out what we needed to know about whatever that information that is gleaned is, and that's just the amazing part, is that we're part of these emerging moments when we find out more and more, and then it becomes fact, it becomes scientific evidence and a basis for additional reasoning and fascinating discovery, and that's just kind of cool to realize, and to realize the rate at which a lot of this stuff is happening, and there's just tremendous support at this particular moment.
And SpaceX just released some pictures of its Dragon spacecraft that will be going up. Actually, they're going to be doing a test in November, an unmanned test. But next April, they're going to be actually putting people in this thing, and it's going to go up to the space station.
Yes, this is to compete with the Orion capsule. There's two different crew modules, and this is SpaceX's Dragon capsule that you're referring to. So there's a couple different designs, and what these are to be implemented for is the resupply of human astronauts on places like ISS, but also to be a part of further space missions and missions that are much farther. I think they may reconfigure them for longer distances, but this capsule will serve the purpose of making the SpaceX platform something that humans can ride on. Because as of yet, it's all been automated, it's all been cargo and unmanned. What these will do is basically be the modern manifestation of the Apollo and other capsules that had been launched with humans on them before. But getting them certified and approved to carry humans is the next critical phase. So both SpaceX with their Dragon capsule, and of course Boeing and the other contractors doing the STS or the 100 Starliner capsule, they're all kind of in pretty close competition, head neck and neck, so to speak, to basically get approved. And what that would do is eliminate, I think, a lot of the need to have astronauts take off in Kazakhstan with the Russian Soyuz platform.
Yes, they can take off from MacArthur Airport or wherever it is they decide to. Well, you know, is it ever going to stop being a big deal where they launch from? You know, planes launch from everywhere. So at some point, I want to see rocket launches on Long Island, not just the model kind. I mean, you know, really going somewhere and without worrying if it's raining. You know, well, that's what I want to see one day. But this, yeah, this the model, you can look it up online. It's pretty interesting. They have, like, Swedish design sparse is what they call the inside of it, which is pretty amazing. Four chairs, and apparently can hold seven people. And no, the three people don't have to stand. Apparently there's a compartment below that's used for storage where they can stick three more people if they want to bring seven people up to space. Exciting times. And like I said, they're going to be testing this in November, and if it goes well, astronauts will actually be on it in April, heading up to ISS, and who knows after that. Exciting times to be around.
It looks, yeah, it is tremendous. I mean, I just, like, I get so excited thinking what is possible with these platforms and how they can be configured and then built upon. You know, these are just one step. They were part of previous efforts. Same thing with the solar probe. Is like years and decades and lifetimes of work that this stuff is built upon. So these are just the next iteration of that, which is fantastically exciting. It looks to me very similar to the Stratos project that Red Bull did with Felix Baumgartner, the jump from 100,000 feet. This capsule has a similar sort of stripped down appearance on the inside. That was just one observation I had.
All right, we are going to open up our phone lines. If anyone out there would like to call in and join the conversation, 631-632-9872. We have other things to talk about as well. One thing we did over the past 4 weeks, we saw that D.W. Griffith film, Intolerance, which is not really the sequel to Birth of a Nation, but the film that came out a year afterwards was designed to showcase intolerance around the world, but also it was kind of a defensive response too, because D.W. Griffith felt that his racist epic of 1915 was unfairly criticized, and therefore people were intolerant of his opinion. Kind of like what right wing people do today, where they say, "Hey, you're racist against me because I'm white," and I don't know, all kinds of twisted logic. Intolerance was really an interesting film, but we wound up seeing it twice because what happened was I had this videotape that basically I hadn't looked at, and I've had it for like 15 years or something.
It was still in the wrapper.
It was still in the wrapper, but somehow it was already like two-thirds played. Whatever.
It got re-shrink wrapped, probably at a used video place.
Yeah, not the most kosher of outfits, I guess. So we saw this film, and you know, watching there's four stories unfolding at the same time. There's a story of ancient Babylon and like 500 BC. There's the story of Jesus Christ. There's some kind of Renaissance French story where Huguenots are being massacred by Catholics. That's like in the around 1600, 1500, that period. And then there's a contemporary story, which is 1915, of basically people trying to work in a factory and being met with all kinds of unfairness and just trying to eke out a living, dealing with crime, things like that. So all four of these stories are going at once, and basically what you have is you have this transition where you see a woman rocking a cradle, and that's the cradle of humanity, and just keeps going back and forth all these stories. Interesting concept, but, you know, the story started to wrap up right about the 155 mark, and the film's supposed to be 3 hours and 15 minutes. And so right there I said, uh-oh, there's something wrong here. It's going way too fast. And sure enough, at 2 hours and 5 minutes, the film ended. And I was fit to be tied because I wanted to see the 3 hour and 15 minute version. So we had to go through it all over again by downloading a digital copy. But the funny thing was, I couldn't find any scenes that we hadn't already seen. I think it was just simply played faster, and the cards that have the dialogue were flashed much faster than they were in the longer version. If you're looking to edit a silent movie, I guess you can do it by speeding up the action and cutting down on the reading time.
It detracts so much from the content, though. I mean, if you're going to be into a film and you're going to commit to it, having a rough cut, and we found out that was for TV, a TV cut, I think.
Right.
It just completely changes it. It makes it harder to watch. I mean, if you're going to endure and sit and read, fine. It's slow enough that you can, but just all this jump cutting to cards and back from one era to another, it just was incredibly distracting and not at all fun to watch.
But I'm glad we watched it the second time, and I like to challenge anybody out there. Have you seen Intolerance twice in a week? That's something I think even people in 1915 would have had trouble with. Anyway, we have a call. Good evening. You're on the radio. Speak up. Okay. I have the right button up, don't I? Yes, I do. Okay, there's nobody there, so I'm going to hang up and give out the phone number again. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. And we should point out when addressed, you must speak back. Otherwise, we won't have anything to talk about. We did that, and we're slowly moving through the years. I think we're up to 1918 now.
Yeah, and we have another Oscar film, too, to catch up on that little mission.
Yeah, we're up to, like, 1932 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Cavalcade.
Hopefully, yeah, we're gonna catch up so that there's no gap.
Yeah, we're going to try to synchronize the timeline that we've got so far. So it's coming along, and it will be, I'm sure, ever more interesting as it gets through, as the emergence of film hits sort of the feature length era through Silent and all of that, and we're going to get much more war era stuff.
Well, we saw The Immigrant by Charlie Chaplin. I think that was 1917, and that was interesting because, you know, talking about immigration and the way people are treated when they arrive in this country. First of all, the travel conditions were awful. And this is a comedy, of course, but it's based on what really was happening. But people who arrived by boat, they pretty much were let in. Of course, they faced hard times after that, but they were treated unfairly, as they are today. But they generally were let into the country, and I think that's kind of interesting to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something we're still living out, you know, in just different forms, and just the parallels in a lot of these films were fascinating. Even if it was like a reach, like in Intolerance, it's just like, okay, so this is your rationalizations. We're going to journey through time, and you're going to talk about basically how normal you are for the way you characterize something that's not so great. But that's fine, you know. Everybody wants to point at everybody else for being hypocrites. So
yes,
instead of looking inward.
Did I miss another call? Okay, 631. I have to look at the phone. 631-632-9872. I just saw it flash for a second. 631-632-WUSB. If you want to join the conversation, but we're only on for another 10 minutes or so. Looking at contemporary news, what's going on today? What do you think of all this Amorosa stuff? Boy, if anything suits the Trump regime, it's this kind of trashiness. It's what did you expect? You have reality stars in the circle in the White House. You don't think eventually that's going to go wrong?
Yeah, and they won't. You know, resent or retaliate you and your management style. And you won't experience it in the media. They're just going to go away quietly. I mean, geez.
Yeah. So now you have headlines like White House won't guarantee no tape of Donald Trump using N-word and says calling Amorosa a dog is not racial. Yeah, that's what he referred to as a dog today on Twitter. This is what's going on in the Oval Office right now. I just don't see how anybody, no matter what you think of policies or anything, can say this is dignity. This is the way the office should be handled. It's really an embarrassment. It's kind of funny in some ways, but it's also kind of sad in other ways.
Yeah, a huge distraction. I think from actual business. I couldn't tell. Is Congress in recess? Or are they still doing anything?
Does it
matter?
Did
they go away?
Does it really? Has anybody cared?
I know McConnell was like, oh, you know, forget recess. That was like a week ago. So they're all like whining about recess and stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, it might be the final recess because there's an election coming up in a couple of months. And well, most of the Congress is up for re-election or a new election.
I think what his urgency, his sense of urgency was, the gist of the story I heard was just that, you know, they need to have something to show for because the narrative then as you said, when the election occurs and the run up to it, is going to be it's going to be about what you can say you had been doing in the meantime, what you got done, what was passed, and he felt the recess was a good time to fill with all the things you're going to be able to say you did instead of talking about this wave. And yeah, I don't know. The ugliness, I think, and drama will continue on, I think, for the next couple of months. The Democrats are definitely going to be trying to distinguish themselves and talk about how they're countering the current administration, but they're going to be mired in this story and the special counsel as well, and then people are going to have a say about that party's leadership, you know, in from every district.
Let's listen to what was said here.
This is
a headline that I saw earlier today. Trump campaign retains Hulk Hogan lawyer for arbitration action against Omarosa.
See,
that is our country today.
Yeah, I can't. Is it Hulk Hogan's lawyer for his son's DUI, or is it
Who
Hulk
cares?
Hogan's
lawyer? I mean, just them saying these words, and they represent our country right now. It's just, oh boy, you know, it's like this is our gas leak year. Just let us get through it, and we'll recover next year, maybe. Mm. All right, we have a call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Well, they hung up. Okay, who's calling and hanging up? That's just stupid, all right? Now I'm not going to pick up the phone unless I see two calls coming in. What do you think about that? Yeah. That's what happens. 631-632-9872. So if you want us to pick up the phone, I suggest you call your friends and get them to call up as well, because we're not going to keep picking up and somebody hangs up. It's kind of, you know, we played that game in the 80s.
Well, I mean, people need to realize that you're wasting air.
And air is a precious commodity.
If you waste our air, we will come for you.
Okay.
Oh, wait, never mind.
That doesn't make much sense.
That's
but
a different thing. Never mind. No, don't waste air, because air is important.
Okay, you do know it's a different kind of air, right? Over the air, it's all right. Yeah.
Conserve air.
Uh-huh. So now there's this tape circulating.
Hi.
There's all kinds of tapes circulating these days. This tape apparently was made during the Trump campaign, and basically he was questioned about the existence of another tape in which he purportedly said the N-word during the production of his reality TV show The Apprentice. Now, it's interesting because when you look at the transcript of this tape, you see that Lynn Patton, a Trump campaign aide, assistant to one of the president's sons, told fellow campaign officials on a call in October that she confronted Trump about the existence of the tape and that he denied it. And during the same call, Katrina Pearson, which is a Trump campaign spokeswoman, said she doesn't believe the president's denials. These are his own people saying they don't believe him saying he didn't say the N-word or there isn't a tape of him existing. And today, was it today or was it yesterday, where Trump actually said publicly that he talked to somebody who confirmed that there was no tape of him saying the N-word, which is very, very different from saying that I never said that. It's basically saying, yeah, there's no proof of me saying that, but that's extremely different than saying I never said it in the first place. That is what we are dealing with.
Yeah,
today.
And that's the whole crux of what the criticism is now, is that he can't deny it. He can't say that he never said that. And it's just compounded by as many other tapes of other scenarios and so on. And it's just these easy, easy answers that this administration cannot give to so many questions.
Uh-huh. And it's going to keep going. It's going to stay like that. You know, I get sick, you know, when I turn on TV news. I get sick of hearing the same thing over and over again. It does seem like the media is fixated on this story, the Mueller probe and collusion and all that, almost to the point, you know, where you see Trump saying, yeah, let's get on with it already, and you kind of want to say the same thing and say, yeah, let's get on with it already. But this is an investigation. It takes time. You got to the investigation certainly should not be rushed or should not be concluded just because people are getting impatient or nervous. But I do think the mass media can do more as far as uncovering other things, maybe other stories. There is more going on in the world than just this. And there are other things that also might include the same people that can be covered as well. It just seems like the same talking points are happening over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we try to branch out a little bit and talk about smart cars for a while because, you know, we don't want to just be saying the same thing over and over.
I am with you, definitely, because there's too many panels. There's too many discussing of the volleys between, you know, one side or the other, he said, she said kind of thing. That's not as important, I think. There has to be other journalism. You know, there should be investigative stuff going on around some of these topics and covering it in that way. Or talk about something else. Talk about how the West Coast is burning.
The West Coast is burning. Yeah, you know, we haven't been on for a month live, so there's a lot of things we have not talked about. Who knew that we could get 4 weeks of Iceland audio from driving around for 1 week? But we did. It was interesting, and I hope people enjoyed the winter trip to Iceland that we aired throughout July and part of August. But in so doing, we didn't get to talk about a lot of things that were happening over the last month. And yes, the West Coast burning, or California specifically burning, is certainly one of them. And that's just something that happens every year now.
Yeah, you remember that airplane that we talked about, the 747 that was the largest tanker plane?
We talked about that at some point.
It was not allowed to fly. Yeah, it's allowed to fly now. And in fact, it's been flying a lot, and it's been very, 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 very busy and dumping a lot on these fires, and it's almost not enough. So that puts it in perspective, hopefully. They're using it. They're using a lot of that kind of stuff, and still they have, I think, two or three complex fires in California that are 0% contained. I haven't looked at it.
Remember last week, Trump basically was blaming the state for the fire, saying that water is being diverted into the ocean. Nonsense. I think he was upset at a river that went to the ocean, which is what they tend to do. But the firefighters I know have said that they have enough water to deal with this. It's just that there's a damn fire, and it takes a lot of water and a lot of people and a lot of time. And, you know, he also said we need to clear cut to prevent the forest fires, because apparently in his world, if you don't have a forest, you don't have a forest fire. He's actually blaming the trees. The trees are the enemy here. He thinks if you get rid of the trees, you won't have... What world are we living in here? How insane is this? And when does it stop? When does sanity take hold again?
Yeah,
we're very patient people, I got to say. We are so patient.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at him for forestry and the science and so on behind those ecosystems and how that stuff occurs. But
I'd like
a lot
him to
of
teach
people...
a science course. I'd like to hear Donald Trump teach a science course. I would just, yeah, even for fifth graders or something.
I think the argument with the water is, again, I think it's one of these red herrings or things. It's essentially a slight at the attempts in California to keep their water clean, because part of the foam and the stuff that's used in flame retardants on these ecosystems, it's not so great. I mean, I think there's some ammonia in it. There's a bunch of stuff in it. But basically... you're dousing all this area, and there are certain, I think, areas where you don't necessarily want chemicals like that, and because there are protected species and so on and so forth, it does make it difficult to just basically dump that stuff everywhere. I think that might be the issue there, that it's basically being conflated, when in fact that's not necessarily how you fight fires and so on.
Okay. Right now you're battling Aretha Franklin because we are on our way out of here, and unfortunately, you'll probably be hearing a lot of Aretha Franklin in the weeks ahead, as she is in very poor shape and probably nearing the end of her amazing stay on this earth. And Amy Goodman played the same song an hour ago on Democracy Now! I had no idea. And hopefully Finn doesn't play this song later. There's so many other songs that can be played by Aretha Franklin. And you'll be hearing them here on WUSB as well as other places, I'm sure.
Like Respect?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T?
Sure, why not? I believe in that. All right. Well, respect to Finn, then let's get out of here in time so that we don't go over
all
seven.
Right.
You can write to us, otw@2600.com.
And thanks for all those wonderful telephone calls.
Well, yeah, the person who decided to hang up twice. We'll try it again next week. Good night.
From me.